Again, we'll chant part by part and chant after me the verses we chant at the beginning. Om Garnana Antwa.
Om Garnana Antwa.
Garnapati Gum Havamahe.
Garnapati Gum Havamahe.
Kavim Kavinam.
Kavim Kavinam.
Upamashravastamam.
Upamashravastamam.
Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata
Brahmanam Brahmanaspata
Anashrinvannutibhi
Anashrinvannutibhi
Sedhasatanam
Sedhasatanam
Om Shri Maha Ganapataye Namaha
Om Shri Maha Ganapataye Namaha
Sadashivasamarambham
Sadashivasamarambham
Shankaracharya Madhyamam
Shankaracharya Madhyamam
Asmadacharya Pariyantam
Asmadacharya Pariyantam
Vande Guru Paramparam
Vande Guru Paramparam
Om Parthaya Pratibodhitam
Bhagavata
Narayanena Swayam
Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam
Vyasena Kratitam Purana Munina
Vyasena Kratitam Purana Munina
Matye Mahabharatam
Matye Mahabharatam
Advaitam Rita Varshinim
Advaitam Rita Varshinim
Bhagavatim
Bhagavatim
Ashtadashadhyayinim
Ashtadashadhyayinim
Ambatva Manusandadhami
Ambatva Manusandadhami
Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshinim Sarvopanishado Gavaha
Sarvopanishado Gavaha
Dugdha Gopala Nandanaha
Dugdha Gopala Nandanaha
Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta
Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta
Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat
Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat
Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha
Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha
Stunvanti Divyai Stavai
Stunvanti Divyai Stavai
Devedai Sangha Padakramo Panishadai
Vedai Sangha Padakramo Panishadai
Gayanti yam samaga
Gayanti yam samaga
Dhyana vasthita tadgatena manasa
Dhyana vasthita tadgatena manasa
Pashyanti yam yoginah
Pashyanti yam yoginah
Yasyantam navidussura suragana
Yasyantam navidusura suragana
Devaya tasmai namaha
Devaya tasmai namaha
Om sahana bhavatu
Om sahana bhavatu
sahanau bhunaktu
sahanau bhunaktu
sahaviryam karavavahai
sahaviryam karavavahai
tejasvinavadhitamastu
tejasvinavadhitamastu
ma vidvishavahai
ma vidvishavahai
Shanti Shanti Shanti
Shanti Shanti Shanti Shanti
Very good. So last week we for Arjuna is still in his same state. The Arjuna Vishada Yoga has, we've gone into the next chapter, but he hasn't gotten out of his Vishada yet, out of his samsara yet. And then we discussed how, when we look into this, then there are a few points that help for me to be, that will help Arjuna and help me to be prepared so that I'll really look into this. This is what we're discussing. The first of all, this Vishada, we said Arjuna Samsara. So the Samsara that I saw is threefold here, is Raga, my attachment, and Shoka, which then my sorrow, born of attachment, without attachment. Sorrow won't be very strong like this. And then my Moha from this, the delusion, that I need, first of all, I have to recognize it. Because as long as I'm seeing samsara is because of something out there, right? My problems are because of X outside there. Then what happens is I'm not ready to really look into the source of the problem. And thing is, it's this study we call swadhyaya, self-study. I study myself. I can use Bhagavad Gita to analyze others and see why, you know, somebody else is not okay, right? Try to fix them. But first of all, but we can't fix anybody else as much as we've tried with children or spouse or parents or friends. Very hard to fix anybody else. You know, we have to take care of ourselves like this. And so to see the problem, this is in myself. So first recognizing this and seeing this is the important thing then. That's the issue like this. Look at this. So this is the first thing. I have to recognize this. Now, of course, I have recognized there are some issues, some problems I want to fix. And what happens is I still think there's some way through changing something, through doing something that I'm going to fix this. And not that activity doesn't help to fix some issues. Some problems are fixed by this. It's true. You know, I have some physical problem. I go to a doctor or some alternative medicine or some exercise, some diet, this, and I can help take care, and then it's okay. So it's not that nothing is fixed. But the deeper fundamental problems, this problem of samsara isn't fixed by this. I'm trying to fix samsara within the samsara, like this. It doesn't work like this. How are you going to, a problem like this, you're stuck in it, have to be outside like this. If you're stuck in the whirlpool, can you hold on to something in the whirlpool to take you out? You need something outside. Somebody throws a rope, something from outside for you to grasp on to take out. You can't do it from inside there. So I have to recognize this, that from the means that I have, the usual means I have to solve my issues, that I'm helpless like this. Nothing else is going to work here. So the helplessness also has to be recognized, because otherwise I'll keep trying to fix the fundamental problem in the wrong way, and I won't get to the bottom of it. Then it will continue. So some things are fixed, you know, some issues are fixed, but then the next issue comes up. It's that next issue comes up like this. This in Devi Mahatmyam, this one is illustrated by Rakta Bija, right? The demon who any drop of blood of his falls on the ground becomes another copy of his. So then the goddess is having a big problem, because whenever she fights against him, more and more of his are coming up. So then the usual means won't work. So she had an interesting means. She put her tongue to cover the whole earth and cut off his head and then swallowed like this. So it must be some illustration for overcoming samsara, some vision of the rishi who wrote this. We don't know exactly. We can make up ideas. There might be accepted ideas why. The main point there is the regular thing. Regular weapons, this wouldn't do it. That won't help. So I have to notice that those things that I'm using for other are not going to get to the fundamental problem, to the base of it. So that's the second point we have to see, like this. Then, third point we said after that is then some surrender. Sharanagati is needed because, okay, for me to accept another solution, I have to surrender also because the thing is, otherwise, how am I going to just accept? And surrender isn't something easy because I have my ideas about things. This is one of the hardest things Vedanta study. Hardest things is we come in as I identify as this individual. I'm this body, this mind. I identify with this. Or maybe some other ideas, but that's pretty much my identification. Other things will be built around it. My race, my religion, my background, this, it's built around that individual. And I come in with this, with the solid idea that I'm this individual, and then somebody says, you're not this individual. So as this, and then if I come in with some, if I question this, then I have some chance to look beyond. But if I come with this, okay, I'm this individual, this is my problem, how am I going to fix it? As this individual, let me see beyond this individual. It's kind of like, so if somebody comes in to learn something fresh, it's easy. But if somebody comes in with other preconceived ideas, it takes so much more work. So we come in with this whole thing, and now I want to look beyond. So surrendering this idea is not easy, and then takes a lot of courage. That's why you'll say the word dhiraha is going to be mentioned. Probably go to Mr. Google. Google will tell you how many times dhiraha is in the Gita, 20, 30, whatever times. In Upanishad, so much times dhiraha, dhiraha is used, one of the meaning courageous. You have to be courageous to do this. Right, really courageous because, you know, to throw this whole identity away. So slowly, slowly, as we study, the idea gets loosened. I can see it cracks a little beyond, like a little easier to let go. So this Sharanagati surrender is needed. Like this. Yeah. After these three, then spiritual inquiry, then looking into it. Then one can really do it. Because without this, it'll be harder to do. So that's why having, you know, knocks and blows from life, having suffering is needed. Otherwise, how am I going to look beyond this? You know, if everything goes smoothly, somebody's life, everything goes very smoothly, very nice, then less chances they're going to be really looking deeply into this in this way. So we say, oh, they're very fortunate. They're fortunate in some way, yes, but another way, are they going to get somewhere, looks at somewhere deeper? Like the Buddha's life before he saw the suffering and death like this. So before that, he didn't inquire into, no need to, everything's okay. Things are not okay then. And actually, the smart person, okay, things are not okay. Some of the times, things okay. I have to inquire into it. When things are okay, then also have to look into it. It's like preventative medicine like this. So in any case, so these were needed for this. Without this, it wouldn't be, we won't, Arjuna wouldn't be ready. And then, of course, what happens here is, first Krishna just shocks him, scolds him, hey, what's this? What's wrong with you? You know, you're the bravest warrior. What's wrong with you at this time you're doing this? So that he'll start looking more to his, what is the problem? So he hones in more on the problem. And until Arjuna asks him, please advise me, then he doesn't start teaching because unsolicited advice is not going to usually be helpful. The person's not going to listen, not ready for it. Especially in this type of thing, Vedantic thing. You know, somebody comes with a problem and they just want simple solution. Actually, they just want to pour their heart out this. If they want deeper solution like this, then they're ready for it. If somebody doesn't ask for it, it's not going to go anywhere like this. So then when Arjuna says yes, Shishyasteham Shadhimam Tvam Prapannam, I'm your disciple, please teach me, then Krishna is ready to teach him. And so this is where we got to last time. So now Shri Krishna is going to actually go into the actual, start the actual teachings in the Bhagavad Gita. So this is in verse 11. So let's chant that and then move on from there. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Ashochanan Vachochastvam.
Ashochanan Vachochastvam.
Prajñāvādāṃśa bhāṣase.
Prajñāvādāṃśa bhāṣase.
Gatāsūna gatāsūñśca.
Gatāsūna gatāsūñśca.
Nānuśocanti paṇḍitāḥ paṇḍitāḥ.
Nānuśocanti paṇḍitāḥ.
The Lord said, "You are grieving for those who should not be grieved for. At the same time, you are speaking the words of the wise. The wise people do not grieve for the dead and for the living." So this, we can say it's Sangraha Vakam, if you want. It gives a summary, and later is going to give details about it, like this. Just the essential thing. And of course, if we just take some of these things that are given in a nutshell, it's not as easy to understand. That's why it goes into the details. Like, for instance, the true story is that some British man, British officer, I think, he was thinking, okay, at the time when the British were ruling in India, there's this philosophy, they're teaching everything, let me see what it is. So he went to some pandit who teaches and said, you know, please teach me. So he said, okay, first chanted the mantra and explained, right? Purnamadaha, purnamidam, purnat, from the whole comes. Take the whole from the whole, and the whole remains. This man that came was just hearing this and thinking, what kind of nonsense? Whole from the whole, take whole from the whole, whole. He said, this is nonsense, just prattling of nonsense, forget it. Didn't want to. But the thing is, one needs some patience to learn something. It's kind of like somebody goes to learn violin, they just try and make all sorts of crazy noises, they forget it, this is impossible, I'm not going to go. There, of course, you can hear the person play. So that's the difference. So here, how are you going to see? Here it's not talking about something that's tangible like this. Yes, you maybe see somebody's very happy, very calm, very this. Okay, so they think they attained something. But still, if you see any Mahatma, if you watch them day in, day out, they're still eating, they're still drinking, they're still sleeping, they're still acting. So it's not the obvious thing. So one has to have some patience. And that's why I recommend anybody that studies something like this, you start, do it for 6 months, 1 year, sincerely, really sincerely. Then if it's not doing, yeah, okay. Otherwise, how? What kind of, like that? Like actually, really, this is a real thing also that happened when I was in high school, before I knew anything about what we're studying here. Then somebody said, oh, her parents decided to try meditation. So they sat for a while, and nothing happened. They said, what's this meditation? Forget it. I didn't know about meditation. I thought, how stupid, these are educated people, how stupid are them? They sat one time, but let them learn sometime and then see if there's something in meditation. So like this. But in any case, so this one verse, in some way, it's not saying, okay, don't care for anything, be callous. Okay, you know, anything, anybody comes, goes, don't worry about that. Not like this. It's what he says, gatasun, agatasun cha, that which has gone, that which is coming, meaning is present. It's that which is present, that which is already gone. The wise don't grieve for this. This is the main thing he's saying here. The main thing. Because first he's saying, Arjuna, here's a problem, you're grieving for that which doesn't need to. This is how the wise people, because we have to take that measure like this. So why is it? Well, first of all, what we said is the root of shoka. The root of shoka is raga, the attachment. Because of attachment, then there is shoka. Right? I have expectations to be a certain way. It's not. Now, the stronger my expectation, stronger the effect. Right? Action and reaction. So stronger attachment, stronger disturbance from that. So why would the wise not have this, not have raga, viraga, that's vairagya. Why? Vairagya isn't just, you know, you go, I have pain in my arm right here, let's say, so I can do two things to take care of it. One thing, I can go and I can take some painkillers. Okay, pain is gone. No problem. After, in the afternoon it'll hurt, I'll take another one. I'll just take it there. And slowly I'll have to have a stronger dose, but then it's taken care of. That's one way I can do it. Numbing it. So careless, you know, I don't care. Everything tamasic way. Okay, I don't care about anything in the world. Let the world go to hell. I don't care. And this is one way. But then I can go to the root of the problem. Where is it coming from? Have it checked. What's the problem? Then go to the root and then help to go to the root of it like this. So the wise won't be ones that just took the pain medication, right? Just numb and just this. So to go to the root of it, this then, through understanding, pandita, learned understanding. So there are two different ways how one will know this. Two different ways. One is the simpler, more surface one. We call vachyarta, meaning direct, if you direct meaning. Lakshyarta, the indicated meaning. So direct meaning of this, the simpler worldly wisdom that anybody in the world can get to and see, is anything that comes will be here for some time and will go. Right? Here, gatasun, agatasun. Agata is something that has come. Soon, here I'm just playing with the language, it's not real Sanskrit, it's playing English and Sanskrit. Agata, something that has come. Soon, English, soon. Gata, gone. So whatever agata, soon will be gata. That's the problem when you know some languages, you mix it like this. So don't say, that's not Sanskrit. Sanskrit, gata soon, those that have gone. Agata soon, those that, in the objective case, like this. So those things, actually, gata soon, yeah. So this is the wisdom. Anything that you have today, tomorrow is not going to be there. Anything that's like this now, tomorrow will be different. So understanding this, everything is temporary, and that's the law of nature. You know, I like sunny weather. Oh, it's raining, I'm not happy. A silly little thing like this. But even the bigger things too. You know, I can do certain things now, I have the ability. A little later, I don't have the ability to do that. Now I'm going to feel very depressed because I used to be able to, you know, sing or do some athletics of this. Now I can't. Oh, poor me. You know, I used to be somebody, now I'm not that somebody. So a lot of times people have them, you know, my certificates or memory of this, or now photos. I can go get awards because I used to be, and I'll say how I used to be so great because I still want to hold on to what's gone. I still want to hold on to that because my identity is tied to that. This is what happens. So anything here now, you know, children, they're 5, 6, 7, oh, very cute, playful. We want to keep them like that. But then they grow a little bit and they start talking back. And they start complaining, they start having their other samskara coming up, whatever problems. Then they go off to college, they're not calling, they'll call once in a few weeks. Then they're angry at the spouse, your husband or your wife, this, okay, they don't call for a few months, this. How to feel. Then they want to marry somebody from other culture, other thing, or they don't want to marry at all. And then, so all these things, these things come, and oh, this is things that are present because they don't, not grieving for what is present. For what is gone, yes, I grieve because somebody died. I grieve because something like this. Biggest thing is somebody died. That's the biggest. But then other thing we also grieve for. But in the present, I also grieve for things because it's not the way that I expect them to be. I expect my child to be in a certain way. I expect my, you know, people to be in a certain way, country to be in a certain way. I expect this, but it's not like this. And then, because of that, from the present things, I also suffer. I want to pick and choose that certain things will be in certain ways, certain won't, like this. So I want the world to play to my tune. But I forget, here is Sri Krishna's teaching. He has the flute, so we have to play to his tune, right? We can't play to our tune like this. So we just surrender to whatever rag he decides to play, let it be like this. So in any case, so that's the worldly thing, the simpler, more surface way, which helps get through a lot, because that's nature. Whatever happens by nature, that's how it is. So if I learn to go with that, it's not a problem. If I want to go against it, then it's going to be difficult for me, because change is the nature, that's it. Yes, I can prolong something a little more. Okay, prolong more, but then what'll happen afterwards? If you go to Kathopanishad, there, Nachiketas, he goes to Lord Yama, to Lord of Death, his guru, and in order to test Nachiketas, he's ready to give him anything, offers anything he wants, any kind of pleasure, any kind of power, anything. And says, even things I can't say, anything you can imagine, you know. So he says to Lord Yama, you know, anything you give me, make me ruler for generations, for whatever length of time, with the whole world, all the power, all the enjoyment. When it's over, it'll seem like it went by as a flash, and then what? So even if you prolong, still, it goes, and then what? Like this. So in this way, this understanding is so important. So this is one thing, and of course, everything is limited in time like this, so my lifespan is also limited. Everybody's lifespan is limited, and that's the nature of things. And one very interesting fact about this is that we look into many things very closely. Okay, you know, what kind of career should I go into, right? Retirement, what money I should have for this. And health, what I should do for certain health things. So many things we look into very closely and carefully like this. You know, some people, for buying anything, how much research they'll do like this. How much research for one thing, how much, whatever. Okay, fine. Now, what about death? No, I don't want to look into that. So it's not comfortable. Uncomfortable thing to look into, but that's also part. You look into retirement, right? So I'm thinking of that portion of life, but the fact that the life also will end, I don't look into that. My life and everybody else's life. And so why not look into this too, to inquire into it too? But isn't that something naturally? Death is a factor, a fact, that's how it is. So if I don't look into something, I don't look into it then, I'm not ready as much when it comes in this way. So this is just a factual thing. Whatever is born dies, so whatever comes will go. It's nature, like this. So, and what happens also when somebody's born, person is born, everybody's very happy and celebrating. What is that person doing? Crying. Very cold and uncomfortable, and this, maybe they were in a wonderful place before, and then they're very comfortable in the mom's womb, like this. Now somebody's cold, now this, now how difficult. And then somebody dies, we're very sad. But from what we've heard from near-death experiences, the person feels very good, how they're freed from so much, how they feel very good, very wonderful. So why, like this, we cry for us, we think we cry for the person, we cry for us. I miss that person. Somebody just, a student of my wife's, was just a long-time student, her mother was old. I think she already was, I think she was over 90. And she really wasn't well, and she had dementia. She was sick a while, so she just passed away not long ago. So being from Eastern countries, we're looking at, okay, what'll happen? Where is she now? How long soul? Where does it go? After how long reincarnation? All these things. So much thinking of there. Like this. And of course, well, naturally, mother died, of course, there'll be some sorrow. Can't not be. But then, do we think of it before, or we wait till then and then think? So in any case, so that's the simpler one, like this. And just that simple wisdom already helps, like this. Now then, the lakshyartha, the subtler one, which is the teaching we'll focus a lot more on, of course, is the Vedantic view, which is different. Here, it's because these things are just on the surface. That as you, the Atma, you, the conscious being, this doesn't affect at all, doesn't touch at all. So this is the main thing we'll be pointing out, because even though I know things will change, still it doesn't totally solve everything, because still there's no bearing, I lose my bearings of too much change, too much. And then my identity, what is my identity? Still my identity is something by that's constantly changing too. So it's going to be very, it can't solve all the issues, all of this. It can solve to a great extent. But still I'm this individual that still has to deal with all of this. And at some point it'll be overwhelming, be too much. So here it says, well, from this perspective, you as the conscious being, you don't change. All this change doesn't affect you. It seems to, but that's because of lack of viveka. And here it tells also Arjuna, right? He says, pragyavadan shabhashase, you speak like the wise. Simpler. But, like the wise, not you speak, you are wise in this way. Because on one hand, you know, speaking like the wise, and the wise have the viveka, seeing that you as the conscious being, you the Atma, are unchanging, untouched by the change. On the other hand, you're caught up in your attachment, from that the grief and the moha, the unclarity is there, right? So, these two don't sit together. How can one be deluded and be wise at the same time? So then, what? It's one or the other, can't be both. So then, let's say, Shri Krishna, Adi Guru Shankaracharya says like this in his Bhashyam, in his commentary, he does say, you know, that means Arjuna, in short, the meaning of this is Arjuna, you're mudha, you're deluded. And Arjuna did say that I'm deluded, please help me, I don't see clearly. So this is the point here, one of the main things he's saying like this. So from here, for the next 15 verses, so he's going to discuss all the aspects about this, about Atma, what is Atma, because Atma and Atma Viveka, this is one of the main things we study in Vedanta. And as we said earlier, there are a few prerequisites for being prepared to really look into Vedanta. One of them is this viveka. Atma and Atma viveka. Who you are in essence and who you aren't, like this. This is what it's going to look into. So the viveka, first some discrimination has to be done between what you are in essence and what you're not in essence. And then learning how to own up to what you are and not to what you're not, like this. So this has to be done. And then, so this is the main thing we'll be discussing here for quite some time now, like this. Now what happens, of course, is here Arjuna's issue is he has shoka, he has sorrow right now, here, emotional state. So some things can be done to help with somebody's emotional state right now. Great sorrow, something, again, the person that passed away, this person, slowly, you know, since it goes to place, the priests or teachers will say like this, and they'll do some rituals, and they'll have some people will help console, and slowly, of course, you know, it's a mom, so it takes time, and you know, might have some sorrow from, but will help to, you know, within some time, help to pretty much get back to normal, do everything like this. So that we can help like this with one problem. But then the root hasn't been taken care of. So here actually, Krishna is going to help with the two things. One is the immediate problem that Arjuna has to face, and second, the root problem, because he has the immediate one he's going to deal with, this the war he has to fight on the one hand, but then also he's going to deal with the root, because otherwise, tomorrow, Arjuna is going to have another problem come back to him. Do you want the doctor? If you go to the doctor, you'll come and to take care of a problem. And do you want the doctor to do it in a way that in half a year to come back again because of the similar thing? Or you want the doctor to help take care of it? So Vedanta like this, it's saying has to the root of the problem, right? Maybe the Vedanta gurus did this so they don't get ahead, you know, the person won't nag them, they'll learn their fix and they can go na padu. There's one Mahatma, very, very great teacher, Swami Anubhavanandaji. He comes here to the Bay Area. I think it's in June this year. He comes every year. Very funny, very wise like this. He was very, very close to Sarvaswami Chinmayananda, and many years was with him directly. It's very close to him. So in any case, when somebody comes to him and says, Swamiji, how can I serve you? He says, he has his slogan of this in Hindi, but he teaches Hindi and English, Moj me raho, just stay happy. No, but how can I help you? Yeah, that's how you help me. Then one less miserable person that's going to come and bother me. That way he's so funny. He has these singing jokes, but singing jokes to make you think like this. I've seen him in person when he came to the state, came to give some talks at our house when we were still in Berkeley. I didn't know him before that. I just heard his talk so much. And his jokes are like this, giving talks, but in person, just so sweet, so loving, nothing like that. There to shake up, like probably make us think like this. But in any case, so the thing is to go to the root, to fix the problem, that's it. So, because one thing that happens, I get attached to the presence of the Guru, personality of the Guru, which in the beginning, like the mom for the child, okay, it's fine. But then I have to stand on my own feet, so to teach, to look, so I can look into this. So I can be freed from this, and that's it. Because otherwise it's another kind of dependency. You know, I rely on the God of the Guru, I feel they're helping me, so that by holding on to that, now I don't have the fear or the frustration. It's good. It's done something. But still I'm dependent on something else. Well, I have to see that something is me, that's not the changing. Then it really solves. So this way, to go to the root of it is important. And then of course, just like the example where he had, when you're the whirlpool, somebody throws the rope, okay, you have to hold on, meaning I have to look into it. Manam, it's not just the person says, the Shastra says this, okay, I can quote, you know, Ashochyanam, Ashochastvam, Adi Guru Shankaracharya says this, you know, you think like is your mood, how very good. Now I go, now why is the political situation like this? Why are you talking like this? Why are children doing like this? I get all worried in this. So I can, I have to reflect on it, understand it, ask about, I don't understand, why is it like that? After I'm just learning some, why is it like this? Look into it. So the mananam needed, I can't just leave it at just some information, otherwise stay some nice information, just like we have books, now we have files, not books anymore, so in here we store information, another information to store. Okay, and then I finish studying this, Gita, now I'll study something else, get other information. It's something to look into, to really use it to look into like this. So in this way. So Shastra is seen as a mirror to look at myself, Swadhyaya. The mirror is outside you, use to look at yourself. So here, the text is outside written, but for me to look at myself, to show me myself like this, in this way. So in any case, as we go through the chapter, this first part we said yes. We'll go to the root problem, Atmanatma Viveka, which we'll be discussing so much next week. Then after, he gives a few different solutions. That's the root. Afterwards, he goes to Dharma Adharma. He talks about Dharma too, because that's second level. Second level, main one, Atmanatma Viveka, but Dharma, he's not starting with Dharma. Usually for a student studying this type of thing, first dharma, karma yoga, like this first. Like this duty first, you know. Then if you're duty bound, focus duty first and not enjoyment results first, then you rise to something higher. You're not as caught up in the smaller things. So he's not going to this first, because if we know Arjuna, he knows Dharma Shastra well. There's no need to teach him. A different text, maybe it'll go into that first and then, like this, but here, so, but it is talked about because it's very necessary, because that's one thing, just Atma Vichara without having some, you know, level of dharma, it's not going to work, because not living by dharma, by what's needed to be done, then it's a stronger identification as myself, as the individual anyway, so it's harder to pull out. That's why this is a necessary thing. That's why you'll see tradition in many places. Somebody goes, serves for a while, and then, you know, and then looks into this in this way. So, but that's the second level he's going to do. You know, what's right to do. More important to you, what's right to do than what's comfortable, what's needed to do. And so many examples, like the Ramayana is all about this, in this way. Third, Laukika, the third level is, let's say there's somebody who, you know, doesn't have any Shraddha, any faith in the God, any faith in afterlife, any faith, punya, papa, I do something, some sinner merit, and that the result will be nothing like this. So for lowest level like that, your standing in society is important also. Look, you know, if you act in the wrong way, what's going to be your standing? What are people going to think about you? What they're going to say? So from simple worldly perspective, also he's going to put it like this. So then everybody can learn from like this. He puts that as well there. So these three, Shri Krishna is going to go into in this chapter. This is what he's going to do. So now, of course, from our perspective here of the Atma and Atma like this, then as to start to look into this Viveka, what is the difference between you, the Atma, you, the conscious being, and between you, the body-mind complex, this the same author of this text, Swami Paramarthanandaji. Here's a very interesting thing with Swami Paramarthanandaji. He's in Chennai. He teaches there. Once or twice a year goes to like Rishikesh, Bangalore for a week's camp. Otherwise he doesn't leave. He's so many students there, they won't let him go. They'll tie him down, they won't let him go. He's there, I don't know, 2 decades teaching, whatever. So just yesterday, they just started a, you know, this WhatsApp. You know, if you get into groups, it's finished. That's why I don't get into groups. If it says the mediator posting nobody else for some information, good. Otherwise, everybody writes 1 out of 50 messages something useful. So somebody from where I take my Vedanta class posted, you know, Swami Paramarthanandaji is coming in April to US. He never leaves there. I thought in my mind, there's another disciple, Swami Dainandji, Swami Paramatmanandaji, he's from Gujarat, different one. I thought, does she mean him? I'm going to send her an email to this lady posted. Which is it? Did she write the wrong one? I said to him, you know, I'll check tomorrow because I was surprised, how is he going to come? So at first I was, oh wow, he'll come in person, nice. Then after a little while I thought, okay, he'll come in person, very good. I heard his recording so much, I haven't met him in person, but so much I've learn from him like this. I have to meet him sometime in person and thank him like this. But in any case, later I was thinking, okay, he'll come. Very good. He'll come for a week. I'll hear some things and he'll be gone. Very good. How long have I been studying this so long? I need to look into what's the essence, not into if this specific Mahatma coming or the other. I've seen enough. So many, not this. You always can learn more. I'm not saying that. If he comes, I'll go to all his talks. Yes. But you know, I've learned from teachers and this. I have to keep look into the essence, not just have another one like this. And I thought I'll email him this morning before the class. I look, what's up? Oh, I made a mistake. I accidentally wrote Swami Paramarthananda, Swami Paramatmananda, which is what I thought might be the case. Because he comes here regularly, just hasn't since COVID. So like this. Also great teacher, I'm not saying that. But so Swami Paramatmanandaji, these points he gives, really wonderful, the best I've heard in just to give an explanation of for Atma and Atma Viveka. And this is one of his masteries, the Swami Paramarthanandaji, is if you'll take how he teaches text like this, he breaks down into, you know, in just like, you know, Lego to blocks. Very nice breakdown of information. So it's very easy just grab like this. Okay, these points, like these 4 points I gave before, or this way of some explaining samsara, this is from him. Very useful. Then you have something, simple categories to look into. Not just to leave as categories and to store away, but a place for you to look at it instead of just leaving it as some general idea. Very nice. So here, this is one of the most wonderful ways I've heard like this to explain. So first of all, talking about Atma is consciousness. So we just say consciousness and we leave it at that. Conscious, yes, very good. Yeah, it's something aware, something this, something alive, yeah, like this, and then what is it? It stays as a foggy thing. Like somebody says, spiritual. What is spiritual? It stays as a foggy thing. What is God? Stays as a foggy thing for most people too. Yeah, some form, but it's not the form. Yeah, something all-pervading, something this, and we leave it at that. And Vedanta says, no, you have to look into it. You want to know. You can't leave it that just some vague idea. How's it going to help you? You want to look into it. So here. So it says, what is consciousness? It says, not a part, a product or property of the body. So if you look at the body, where is the consciousness in the body? It's a part somewhere. No. It's a property of the body, just like, you know, the body has many different properties it brings up, you know, some heat and some acidity and these things, properties. It's not going to be a property like this or a product of the body through its functionality. Different things come up. It's not going to be some of these. Not part, product, or property of the body like this. So you can't just say it's like this. Kind of like when you have the iron ball and you put it in the fire, it gets red hot. You can't say the heat is a property of that, of the iron. You can't, because tomorrow the iron is gone and you take it out, it cools down after a half hour, it's not hot anymore. So you can't say it's a property of, you know, it's not like this. So this is first, not part, product, property of the body. Second point is it's a separate entity which enlivens the body. It's something separate from the body. Without the consciousness, the body won't be alive. We say somebody's a conscious being, we know they're alive, like this. So something is there making this body alive. Most of us probably have seen a dead body. Especially if it's somebody you knew, then it's them, but it's not them. It's a very interesting thing. You know, of course, when all the emotion attached, it's harder to look at. But when we look at it, it's like the person there, but the essential thing not there. So what's enlivening isn't there. So in this way, separate thing which enlivens the body, separate entity. Next point is that it's not limited to the boundaries of the body. Consciousness isn't something that you squeeze into the body, it just stays there. It's just there, not anywhere else, just there. You can't limit it to this boundary in this. Because the thing is, then it would have a shape, pliability, all sorts of things you start getting into, which we'll discuss so much. You know. Next 2-3 months, just be ready. We hear about Atma, 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 all these things. Okay. Then also, it doesn't cease to exist when the body goes away. Right? Gatasuna katasun cha nanusha chantik panditaha. The wise people don't grieve. They know that the body will come and go, but the Atma is not going to come and go. Atma is always there. It doesn't go when the body goes. This is what happens. It's constant. So these are the things, not part, product, property of the body. It's a separate entity which enlivens the body. It's not limited to the boundaries of the body, and it doesn't cease to exist when the body ceases to exist like this. This is the points. Now, a nice example for this, nice illustration, is like this. If I put my hand like this, so there's light in the room, so you can see my hand because there's light reflected on my hand. Right? If it was dark, you wouldn't see, so it's light reflecting here. So now you come and you don't know what light is. Right? You see my hand, please tell me, you say, oh, it's light reflecting on the hand, what is light? You have a very special hand, there must be light in your hand. You know, you have a special siddhi, you're doing yoga for 20 years, you have a special siddhi, so the light is reflectiveness. So you're creating light from your hand. You know how they make drawings. Some saint, oh, the aura or the light from the hand like this. So then I'll say, well, I'll explain to you what the head is. I'll say, first of all, the light is not a part, a product, or property of the hand. Right? It's not, nothing to do with that. Now, it's not limited to the boundaries of the hand, because if I take something else here, I'll put my other hand, I'll take some object, I'll put here, you see it too. So it's not limited just to the hand. Other things will be visible in the light of that too. Yes. So it's a separate entity, first of all, separate entity which makes the hand visible. It's not part of the hand separate. And then it's not limited to the boundaries of the hand because other things will be visible through that same light. And then we'll say, and when the hand isn't there, the light doesn't stop shining. Okay, if we were in space, and you know, and then you need an object to reflect the light. Here, it's reflected in the atmosphere, so we see light all around. But if you're in the space, there isn't the atmosphere for light to reflect on. So there, it'll be different the way that an object is there. You see, not an object, you just see dark. There's darkness, you don't see. So when the hand goes away, okay, did the light go? You know the light didn't go because any other object you put there, the light is still reflecting. So even when the hand went away, light is still there. So this is a very nice way to look at, to start differentiating. What is Atma? Meaning what is myself? What is my essential self? Because I have my persona, my idea about myself, right? All these ideas, but those ideas, they're constantly changing. But I'm still there, right? Yesterday I was, you know, in college, day before I was in high school, day before I was in, you know, preschool, before school. Now they have preschool. When I was a little kid, we had nursery school, kindergarten. Now they have preschool. They change it all, you know, it always changes and depends on period and on country and all this. Before that, you know, who knows? So all these things change, but I was still there the whole time. What do you mean I was there? The bodies change, everything, you were there. So this is looking into that. And so in Vedanta then, you'll see different methodologies will be brought up for this viveka. How to see the difference between. And the tricky thing about this type of viveka is, viveka come from the root to separate. You separate two things. If, for instance, as some of you probably back home, your parents, grandparents may still do, bring the rice, you know, put it out, and then separate because there'll be some stones. Separate, take all the stones out this, then it can be washed, it can be cooked and everything. So there, you just have to look closely and separate two things physically. You physically put all the stones here, physically put all the rice here, and then no problem, you can cook it and eat it freely without worrying about breaking your teeth. Like this, right? Here, you can't make a physical separation. Can you physically separate by hand and light when you see it? You can't separate through understanding. You understand the difference between the hand and between the light reflected on it without having to physically separate. We don't peel the light off, put it somewhere else, see here's light, here's hand. We see the difference between the two. So in the same way here, through understanding, I understand the difference between I, the Atma, the conscious being, and between the body in this case, and other things too, as we get into it, like this. So this is how this viveka is done, an understanding. Because you'll never physically separate them, and we'll get into why that also is not a possibility to physically separate, you know, like physically separate the wave and the water. Put the wave, there are some waves here, put the waves on the left side, put the water on the right. Let's do that as an exercise. Maybe some philosophers have been trying to do that from time immemorial, but they're still trying. It doesn't make sense. So as we get to the viveka, we'll see why you can't separate. Through physically, it doesn't work. But through understanding, you see why it's not the same, like this. So one of these methodologies, which is very commonly used, which is very commonly used because it's easy to understand and simple, like this. It's similar to what we were talking here, this differentiation is the drik drishya viveka. Drik is observer, drishyam is observed. So between observer and observed, whatever is to observe, you're to be a conscious being. You know, you say, the camera through the robot is. Well, really, it's not really observed. Nobody behind observing it. Until you, the individual, is seeing what the result is, what happened, it's just, you know. it's just some optical things or some bytes and bits sitting somewhere. It's not a conscious being behind it. So the conscious being behind is observing. And what is the other thing? The object is being observed. So I see things outside. I know it's not me. Then I feel my body, right? I feel my hand. My guru used to say, some disciple comes to him and says, you know, in our ashram we're so busy, we need some more help. I don't have enough to do. Please give me one of your fingers. So he says, I'll take one finger and give to you, you put on your hand. I have one finger less. Am I now somebody different, or am I the same one? Is that person now an extra finger? Are they somebody different? And he would go on joking so many things. He'd say, you know, I changed my heart, you give me monkey heart. He says, I changed my blood, you know, you give me other blood. Of course, he's Hindu from Kerala, he's a monk, so he says, you give me Jewish blood, like this. I changed my name, changed this. He would joke like this, just look, all these things change, am I a different one? Well, the body's changing constantly anyway. But in here, I observe the body, I feel it, so I'm drik, body is drishyam, right? I have sorrow now. Oh, I'm so sorry because some problem, some issue like this, this. I am aware of the sorrow, right? So am I the sorrow? Am I the one aware of the sorrow? Right? I have some pain, physical pain. Am I the pain or am I the observer of the pain? Which one am I? The pain will come and go, but I'm there before, during, after. So this Dhrikdishya Viveka is wonderful. There's a whole text on it we've studied, just honing in on this. A lot of these prakriyas, these methodologies, they're all based on Upanishadic teachings, and they're, in some cases, the more elaborate. Panchakosha Viveka, very elaborate in Taittiriya Upanishad. But some of them are just mentioned in small. And even if it's there, some of these texts will really elaborate on them so that we can understand them so much more. Otherwise, it's not to leave it something vague, something you can look at. So you'll see many different methodologies will be brought up to help us this way to look into it. Because otherwise, okay, how am I going to look at? In the end, I need to reflect on it, but these help for that. Gives just like here, these points Swami Paramarthanandaji is given about what is the Atma. Same way, methodologies are given to make it easier for us to do this viveka like this, in this way. So the main thing here is to learn this way to shift my identity. First, understand the difference between and shift my identity to the Atma instead of Anatma. Atma, myself, the consciousness. Anatma, not Atma, not me, right? So between what I am in essence and what I'm not really, what I may seem to be like this. So a few points about, as Shri Krishna is going to be teaching the next verses, a few of the main points he'll bring up, which we'll be discussing. One thing he'll say, aprameya, Atma is aprameya, meaning not seen through a certain means. The light through the eyesight you see, meaning a blind person won't see it, right? You need the eyes to see. So I want to see the Atma with my eyes. I want to have vision of God. The vision of God, that's why we say third eye. Third eye isn't like something sitting here. It's eye of wisdom. That's what he says here. Jnana chakshu, given in here. So you have to get your jnana chakshu like this, right? Put them on. That's what happens is it's blurry, so I need my jnana chakshu. Not the eye of wisdom, but the viveka, we say like this. So the understanding like this. So it's not something that I can get through logic either. Because logic is also limited. Logic helps, but then, because we use logic here, but then we have to look into what it's pointing to. What it's pointing to is not a logical thing. Is it logical that you're a conscious being? It's not a logical thing, but you can see it through your discrimination. You know it. You just know. So it's not something you're going to have a means to do it like this. So in this way. And the thing is, other things need proof. That my hand is visible because of light, you'll say, how come it's light? Prove it to me. So we can, you know, there probably physics will have some proof to show how the light bounces off, comes back, some gets absorbed, some comes back. Why the color is going back, because that's the one that isn't, that is staying absorbed. All these things we can just start and do some proof for it. all different things. Or I see, I believe it. You know, you say, oh, these people were there, how do you know? Come, look, you see for yourself. Okay, I saw, you proved it to me. So it's not something to be that you can use all these things to prove, but self-proven. You're a conscious being self-proven. Do you have any question that you're conscious aware? No question. You don't need any proof for it, any means for it. No question about it. But the problem is kind of foggy what it is. More than foggy what it is, what it isn't. We get confused what it isn't. So that's one point about it. It's not something that you can have a means that shows it to you. It's self-proven, like this. Showing meaning proving. Second, it's nitya, unchanging. Everything else is changing, changing, changing. But you're the same one. Like we pointed out, if I look back, any memory I have passed from any time, any place, I'm still there. I'm the same one. Are you a different one or the same one? You're the same. Maybe the mind changed. Some ideas have changed over time. Maybe something, maybe the body's changed. For sure the body's changed. But you're the same one, no? Are you somebody else? Same one. So no matter what, somebody will say, I remember my 10 previous lives. Let's say they say this, right? Let's say somebody really remembers previous life, all this. Are you the same one in three lifetimes ago when you lived in different place, different language ago? I'm the same one. You're not somebody else. It's not a third person thing you're saying. So always the same one. This is other thing, nityaha. And nirvikaraha, same one and changeless. If it changes, eventually it's not the same. Right? I have my bicycle and I get some problem, flat tire, this, I change the tire. Then the wheel itself, something goes wrong, this, so I change, I get new ones at wheels after a few years. And the handlebars, somebody hits it, it gets crooked, I change, and I want a more comfortable seat, I change. Slowly, slowly, after some time, you'll say, oh, is that the bike that, you know, when so many years ago when we were in college, it's yeah, the same bike, but nothing is the same. I've changed everything, so is it the same bike or not? The moment something changes, it's not the same thing. It'll be different. But here we say, no, it doesn't change. There's something in you that doesn't change like this. Anirvikaraha, sarvagataha, it's not limited in space, present everywhere. Huh? What do you mean I'm sitting here? You know, somebody's in Minneapolis, right? Somebody's in Minneapolis. I'm correct or I get it wrong again? Yeah. Somebody in Minneapolis. We're sitting here in Fremont, right? Before somebody, this Aaron from Uttarkashi, he was logging in. So we say, he's there, she's there, how can I be? So not limited by space. We'll get into it like this, but in this way, you can't say it's limited to a certain place. Limited to a certain place, it'll also be changing also, so we'll discuss that in this way, right? So all-pervading, meaning without boundaries in this way. And akarta, abhokta, not doer or enjoyer, not because then you're part of a transaction. And part of a transaction then, it won't work. Like, again, when we have the hand here, and now, you'll say like this here. I was just sitting leaning on my hand, so now it has this, you know, some marks that'll go after 1-2 minutes from leaning here. Now, does light getting reflected, does it get affected by this? Right? Does it get affected? Then somebody comes, learns, Odissir Bharatnatyam, and puts all the nice colors, you know, puts the round thing. Some designer goes to a wedding, puts all the henna here like this. Now, is the light, it's shining back now. The light is affected by, now the light gets all designed nice, is very happy it was designed nicely. Or somebody didn't work in the garden, hands are all dirty, and it reflects. Now is the light dirty from this? No, it's not touched by it. So whatever this one does and happens to the hand, the light unaffected. Same way, anything I do or experience, Atma is unaffected by this also. So these are a few things. And again, it seems when we first hear these things, they seem some far-fetched idea. It seems like that. Imagine you didn't learn much about, you know, math, physics, this. Came from, you know, some place where this information is not there. Somebody will tell you, you understand energy, you know the wind is moving, you know, you see electricity, you kind of see, okay, there's energy, this. You know, energy and mass, they're interchangeable, it's the same. E equals mc squared. What do you mean by that? How can it be? Right? It can't be. What do you mean? That one's moving this. This is something solid and still. This table's solid still. It's, you know, well, thing is one solid piece because we didn't learn. Do we see it's not one solid piece? No, but science told us, okay. And it can be turned to this much energy. I'm not so sure. So it seems like that. But then if somebody looks into studies, they can understand why. Here too, it seems how that's contradictory to my experiences, you'll say. Well, look into it. Here, we accept that this little table here is mostly space. We accept that it's mostly particles that are so tiny, most, and they're jumping in and out of existence very quickly, like this. We accept that. We don't see it, because it's not obvious, because it's subtle. And so, in this same way, that's the thing where I come with my idea of myself. If I come with my idea of what the table is, I won't accept this. But I hear, and I hear study some physics and things like this, then I can understand. Okay, not really touching it. You know, there's some energy there that's just, you know, that's why I can't go further. It's not really, you're never really touching the table. And those things we can understand. So this too, it's something subtle. So it takes a lot to understand in self-reflection, but that's why this is. These texts are there, and the methodology, the Sharavanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, there for us to look into it, so that we can know for ourselves this most important truth about ourselves. Most important one like this, because everything else will be based on, like Arjuna's whole thing is based on a lot of good arguments, but the base of it is wrong. The base, oh, we're fighting, why do we want to kill them? It's just our ego thing, we want to be king. No, it's because it's his duty, like this. So the base, so here the base of every so much, all the information I have, all the way I look at the world, myself, this individual. So the base, then everything comes out of that. The base, if I see myself as the conscious being, how different it is. So it turns everything upside down, like this. So the thing is, though, it takes a lot to look into, but then, you know, we have to give it a fair chance, like this. Shri Krishna's here writing about, meaning speaking about, we're very lucky it's there. So for us to look into what an effect it has compared to anything else. So that's, well, all these points and more, coming attractions, right? Continue in the next verses. So let's finish with this here, and we'll continue next time. Om. 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 Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.